Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Vine and is presented by Williams Redlich.
In order to like kind of embrace the commitment to it, I got my license plate changed to Failure. So it's just Failure now. And it's funny because a lot of people like it and take pictures and stuff, but they have no idea what it is. So I'm always curious what people think when they see it, if they think I'm just a crazy person or if there's, you know, some sort of a hint of what's going on.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Ben Currier. Now, get this. Ben literally calls himself the failure guy. Normally, this is where I list the accomplishments of my guests, but Ben's accomplishments revolve around his failures, making him the ideal guest for Broken Bulbs. He has a podcast called Failure Guy, and wears his mistakes on his sleeves as learning opportunities. Did you know one of those learning opportunities was being fired from every job he ever had? That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs just launched, and we've already seen some great success. Thanks to people leaving reviews on Podchaser and elsewhere, Broken Bulbs made it onto Podchaser's Best Podcast page for January. This was alongside huge shows like The Adventure Zone, The Jordan Harbinger Show, S-Town, and Reply All. You can leave a review as well, helping share the show by going to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs. It's the first link in the show notes. Now, onto the show. Ben Currier, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Absolutely. I'm excited.
So am I. So let's talk about you getting fired from every job you've ever had. I'm curious, if you've only ever had one job, like that's not a lot, but why don't you fill us in? How many jobs have you had and why has this gone the way it has?
So I'm on my sixth job in what I'll call corporate America, but really this one is a little bit on the outskirts. When I had first started, I had an accounting degree in college, and I decided I was going to work at KPMG, which is a public accounting company, one of the big four, if anyone's heard of it. And, you know, I was struggling at that point to figure out how I fit in and whether I even wanted to work in that kind of environment. Cause, you know, I over these many firings, I realized how much I detest, you know, kind of corporate politics and all of the red tape that's typically involved in a stuffy corporate atmosphere. So I think starting there, where it's really workaholic type of lifestyle and people are just, you know, you'll see like partners who are like the higher up on any engagement team, you'll see them there till like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, well, is that what I want out of my future? You know, if I'm here for 10 or 20 years, I want to be burning the midnight oil and giving everything for potentially a company that doesn't necessarily care about me. But thankfully I didn't have to choose because they asked me to resign. So part of the reason why I didn't really recognize all of the failures and you know, firings that I had is because I don't know if you've worked in corporate America at all, but it's it can be very they like to hide what has happened and they don't like to throw your name in the mud. So they'll have you either resign yourself, which, you know, you can save face and say that you weren't fired. But obviously, if you're forced to resign, there's really no other way of putting that. But then, you know, as like future employers are reaching out to them, they don't say that you were fired, you know, so it kind of lets you avoid realizing a lot of that.
So you're managing to avoid getting quote unquote fired. Because of that, you're not learning the lesson. So what was it that finally got you to learn the lesson?
After, I won't go into any of the specific details on a lot of the jobs, but after my fifth firing, I realized finally that I was actually getting fired from all these jobs because I hadn't actually even confronted that fact because of all the different ways that, you know, you can avoid it over time in the corporate world. And so I had decided, well, this time I'm going to just take a, you know, 8 months to a year and really focus on my own personal business to try to see if I can get that off the ground. And I was going around and I was networking and my personal business is teaching Microsoft Excel online. Not only myself, but you can just see when you start talking about Excel, people get so bored and they're like almost instantly asleep. So I was like, well, how can I make this networking more fun? Because I really get bored talking about Excel. So I thought, well, what if, you know, similar to like kind of like those guys in New York City who are selling all sorts of gold watches and stuff in their trench coat, I started coming up with different business ideas and making business cards so that I could basically have a business card for any scenario and be be someone else and just play with it for a while and see if anyone likes the idea or if I like the idea before even committing to anything. I just, you know, buy $10 worth of business cards and say it's a business and then see what the reaction is. And that's honestly where the failure guy came out, because I was like, I hate kind of shamelessly bragging and pumping myself up in front of people. So I thought, well, what if I come the other direction and say I'm the world's number one failure? Because first of all, I don't know who's going to argue with that. But if you like look online, there's a lot more competition for high praise roles. There's not a lot of competition for the worst of anything. So, you know, there wasn't really much competition. And plus the fact that if someone else tries to be the world's number one failure and they beat me, then I fail at that. And I'm not sure how that checks out, but it might be some sort of a paradox. But it's just, I thought, okay, well, maybe it'll like lower people's defenses and lower their expectations so that I can maybe get through to them a little bit, because they know I'm not coming from a place of strength or confidence or posture in that sense. And so maybe we can skip some of the you know, the BS and the niceties and get to some of the more interesting stuff.
I like this embracing that you come to at the end of all of these firings, you know, or forced resignations or being let go or whatever softer tone you want to put on it. I like this realization that you come to that, hey, you know, you failed. Maybe you didn't fit in the right way, or maybe, like you said, maybe accounting's not for you. And so who was it that you discovered Ben actually was at the end of all of this experience, taking on that failure guy idea?
Another part of my like incarnation, so to speak, of into the failure guy thing was that I started out just trying to write a book, which was all about, it was called, I don't know if I can swear.
Go ahead.
The Power of Fucking Up is what it was called. And so I was going to just talk about mistakes and how important they are and how I've been fired from every job and why that I'm happy about that. But then as I was writing the book, I realized I don't really know a lot about failure. If I really want to be an expert on it, I got to talk to other people and find out more versions of failure that I haven't yet experienced in order to be a more well-rounded like expert on the subject. So I had decided that instead of continuing to write a book, I could start a podcast. And I, in order to like kind of embrace the commitment to it, I got my license plate changed to failure. So it's just failure now. And it's funny because a lot of people like it and take pictures and stuff, but they have no idea what it is. So I'm always curious what people think when they see it, if they think I'm just a crazy person or if there's, you know, some sort of a hint of what's going on. But I really am trying to make as much as possible failure not a bad thing, but more of a necessary component of success and something to look at as not necessarily a positive because you don't want to fail, but that it's a opportunity rather than something that should be avoided.
I like that, that balanced view. And I think, I mean, this is the reason why we connected, is because we were both talking about failure and we're both having this conversation. We thought, well, okay, now we have to talk about this because that's essentially what this show is doing as well. With that, would you mind filling us in? You've mentioned the podcast, you've mentioned your book and kind of the life path that you're on now. Would you mind filling us in on what it is, that 1,000th bulb, the idea that is working for you, hopefully, you know, forever, but at the very least for now, plug your stuff and brag a little bit. What is it that's working for you?
I think the best way for people to find out more about the Failure Guy is certainly by going to www.failureguy.com, where I have the podcast and my new site that I just put up yesterday. So feel free to tear it to shreds if it doesn't look great. I'm still figuring out how to make it look not terrible. And I've also got a couple different other ways to interact with it. I just put up one that's actually a transcription that you can read along with and listen to. And that's pod.fail/7, the number 7. And I'm hoping to do more cool things. I'm going to have like a Failure Guy sightings place where people can post pictures of my car, because so many people take pictures from behind me. I just don't know how to engage with them and figure out, you know, what it is about it that they liked. But I'm excited to see where it goes. And I've got about 10 episodes recorded, only about 7 released, but I'm excited to get better at making those. And really, yeah, every episode's like a broken bulb in the fact that it's bringing me further towards actually understanding how podcasts work. And I think you probably understand that more than most.
Yeah, I totally get you. Podcasting is very easy to get into, very hard to get great at. It's a It's a huge curve, and it's exciting because there's always something new to learn. But I'll have links for the Failure Guy podcast and everything else that you do down in the show notes for people to go and check out. With that, Ben, I just want to say thanks for joining me today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to Ben Currier for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his podcast, Failure Guy, as well as his Microsoft Excel training website and the rest of his work in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Redlich and Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host, and the podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.